Today's shiur is Masechta Tzvachim Daf Yud Dalid. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Lameka Tanoi. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had an extensive discussion that one of the avoidas that's done on the Chatas Pnimi and the Karmachatas that's brought inside the Beis HaMikdash versus on the Mizbeach HaChitzin is tefillas etzba, where the kohen dips his finger into the dam and sprinkles that dam in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara's discussion was, is the halacha pigel applicable by that avoida? And as we learned, the basis of the question, the basis of a machloikis amaron, is given that the halachas of pigel are learned from carbon shlamim. I mean, carbon shlam, there clearly is no tefillas etzba. So, some Amoraim felt, we can't have pigel by tefillas etzba if we learned halacha from shlamim, where there's no tefillas etzba by shlamim. Other Amoraim said, what we learn from shlamim is the concept of pigel. It doesn't have to be an exact match. And given that tefillas etzba is an essential part of the procedure of a chatas pnimi, the halacha is that pigel will be applicable by the tefillas etzba also. Suggest the Gemara at this point, the lema katanoi, that this question is actually perhaps machlokes tanoim. The Tani Cheda, we learned in one brisa, tefillas etzba, if someone during the tefillas etzba, mifageles bechatas, that somebody has a machsheves pigel during the tefillas etzba, which the tefillas etzba, as we're going to learn, is part of the halacha procedure. If he has a machshavas pigel during that procedure, the carbon will become pigel. Because, just like a carbon can become pigel at any time, any carbon can become pigel during the halacha procedure, tefillas etzba is included in that type of a category, and the carbon can become pigel if you had a machshavas chutz l'zmanoi during the tefillas etzba. V'tani yidach, yet there's another brisa that says, lema fagelis v'lema spagelis, that a carbon doesn't become pigel if there was a machsheves chutz l'zmanoi during the pigel, during the tefillas etzba procedure, nor if somebody had a machsheva, according to this brisa, that he's going to do the tefillas etzba improperly. He's going to do the tefillas etzba chutz l'zmanoi. The carbon will not become pigel. Interesting machloikis. The Tana Kama says that during tefillas etzba, the carbon can become pigel. The second Tana says it doesn't become pigel during the tefillas etzba. But the second Tana added two words. He added the words v'loimus bagelis. And the Mefarshim debate, what is the opinion of the Tana Kama regarding Lomus Bagelis? There are some Mefarshim that suggest that everybody agrees that if somebody had a Machshava during one of the other Avoidas regarding the Tefillas Etzba, given, as we said so many times in our previous year, that a carbon only becomes pigel if you had a Machshava regarding the consumption of the carbon, Tefillas Etzba is not considered consumption, and therefore, everybody agrees that loimus bagelis, if you had a machshava about the tefillas etzba, the carbon will not become pigel. It's the opinion of some achroim. Other achroim take just the opposite approach. They say that certainly tefillas etzba is considered part of the zrikar procedure. And as we've also discussed many times, if somebody has a machshava about the zrikar, certainly the carbon will become pigel. Having a machshava about the tefillas etzba is like having a machshava about the zrika, which certainly will certainly be a candidate for pigel. And others say the machlokes about loim fagelis is the same machlokes as loim spagelis. So my love, so don't we clearly see here, if a carbon can or can't become pigel during the tefillas etzba, is machlokes tanoim. And I saw Gvaldig Akasha. The Gemara seems to be repetitive. First, the Gemara begins with the words Lema Ketanoi, and then the Gemara, a few words later, says again, Mailaf Tanoihi. Why is the Gemara repeating these words? So I saw beautiful Pshat, and this Pshat is also relevant all over Shas. Mefarshim explain, when the Gemara uses the words Lema Tanoihi, it's not that the Gemara is just making a statement. This Machloik Samaroim is the same as this Machloik is Tanoim. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means to ask a kasha. Lema Tanoihi, how can we say that this is a Machloik Samaroim? A Meroim would not be debating something that Tanoim have already dealt with. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Lema Tanoi, what are Meroim arguing about something that the Tanoim debated already? But when does the Gemara have a right to ask such a question? When it's obvious that the issue that the Amoraim are debating is identical to the issue that the Tanoim are debating. When it isn't that black and white, the Gemara has no right to ask the question. And that's the case here. Indeed, the Gemara is assuming that the Machloikas Tanoim is the same as the Machloikas Amoraim that we described at the beginning of the Shir. But it isn't obvious that that's the same Machloikas. That's why the Gemara says, my love, isn't it the same Machloikas? Not that we have a right to ask why you are Meroim are debating something that the Tanoim already argued about. But isn't it the same? That's one way the Mefarshim answer this question. Another way the Mefarshim answer this question is also, when does the Gemara ask Lema Ketanoi? When the Meroim debate an issue, and the subject that they're arguing is explicitly in a Mishnah. So then the Gemara can ask, what are our Meroim arguing? It's in a Mishnah, and it's legitimate to expect all Amoraim to know everything that's discussed in a Mishnah. But when it's a Machloikas and a Braisa, the Gemara doesn't feel that we have a right to assume that all Amoraim should be aware of what it says in the Braises. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, Lema Ketanoi, perhaps it's a Mailav Tanoihi, is it the same Machloikas, but not that we have a claim against the Meroim, why are you arguing about something that the Tanoim argued about? Because given that they spoke about a Braisa, given that this is a Braisa, they're not necessarily expected to know it. Says Meroim, it's not necessarily the same Machloikas. Harab Shimon, Harabonim, the Braisa that holds that a carbon can become pigled during Tfilas Etzba is the opinion of the Rabbanon Harab Shimon. Going back to Rabbanon Rab Shimon in the Mishnah. Where Rab Shimon said that there's never piggle by halacha. Why is there no piggle by halacha? Because Rab Shimon says that halacha is an avoider you could avoid. So then the Braisa says here there's no piggle by Tfilas Etzba. It has nothing to do with learning from Shlomim or not learning from Shlomim. It's a whole different issue. It's part of the halacha. And Rab Shimon says there's no piggle by halacha. Ask the Gemara. If that's how we're explaining the Braisa of Loim Fageles, Mayiri Tfilas Etzba. Why are we picking up Tfilas Etzba? Ha'amar, Rav Shimon has a sheet, which we're going to speak about a lot later in the Masechta, that says, Kol she'en al mezbeich achitzim kishlamim, ein bo b'shapigol. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that there's never pigol by a carbon that's only brought in the Beis HaMikdash, by the Chatas Pnimis. So if we're saying that the Braisa that says, Loim Fageles represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, we shouldn't be speaking about Tfilas Etzba. We should be speaking about the whole carbon. The whole carbon, there's no pigle, given that's the Chatas Pnimi. Well, other explained the Gemara could have asked, if it's Rav Shimon Gamliel, you don't have to speak about a little detail, a little part of the halacha, the Tfilas Etzba, you could have spoken about the whole halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that there's no pigle by halacha. Ella said the Gemara, still, this machlokes has nothing to do with what we're speaking about. Loi kasha. Hava rabbonim. Ka bechatis chitzonius, kan bechatis pnimius. By the chatis pnimius, with tefilas etzba is required. So the rabbonim hold, if you had a mechsheves chutz lizmanoi during that avoida, the carbon becomes pigol. By chatis chitzonius, yesterday we discussed that this whole din of tefilas etzba is unique avoida only by Chatas Pnimis, not Chitzonius. So the Braisa says, since you don't have to have Tfilas Etzba, the carbon doesn't become pigle during the Tfilas Etzba of Chatas Chitzonius, because it's not necessary. Ask the Gemara, Chatas Chitzonius Pshita. I need a Braisa to tell us that a carbon doesn't become pigle during the act of Tfilas Etzpah? We just said there is no Tfilas Etzpah. So how could it become Pigel if you don't even do it? And it's like Sibul. The Torah doesn't require, like Sibul V'Tavel. The Torah doesn't require you should do it. So how would we have a Havamina that it should become Pigel by something that the Torah doesn't even require us to do? Answers the Gemara. Itzrich. Sakadatach mina hoil v'ksiv v'lokach. The Torah does use the words v'lokach v'rechatzis p'nimis. V'rechatzis chitzonis. So again, let's just get the wording of our holy Torah. By chatzis chitzonis, the Torah uses the words v'lokach. By chatzis p'nimis, the Torah uses the words v'tavol. But, if you think in practical terms, there's really no nafkamina. Because if the Torah tells us to take the blood of the chatzis chitzonis and with our hands apply it onto the mizbeach, how are you going to do it? You have to do tefillah. So although the Torah didn't say it, practically you have to do it. And the Gemara goes a step further. What would be the halacha if the Kohen got the dam of the chatzis chitzonis on his fingers, not because he put his hands into the blood. A monkey put it on his hands. It wouldn't be good. The halacha would be, that isn't considered valid. He'd have to stick his hands in. So maybe, says the Gemara, command exiv dummy, v'tavol dummy. So it's as if the Torah is using the words v'tavol. And therefore, perhaps, even though the Torah doesn't use the word v'tavol, but the chatzis chitzonis, since practically it must be done, it should be considered as if the Torah said it. And therefore, you're doing it, you had a machshavas chutz l'zmanay, the carbon is pigel, k'mash malon, l'ocha l'ksiv l'kaval, the mash mahafim v'hach mahafim. Answers the Gemara, the Torah is very deliberate. The Torah not using the word v'taval by chatzis chitzonis, and using it by chatzis p'nimis is teaching us a lesson. Yes, you're going to have to do it, because you have no other way of getting around it. But if you didn't do it, if you had a machshavas pigel during it, given that the Torah didn't tell us that you have to do it, it won't become pigel. Whereas, by chatzis p'nimis, where the Torah used the word v'taval, it becomes much more significant, and there if you had a machshavas pigel during the tefillas etzba, the carbon becomes pigel. So the Mefarshim asked a very obvious question. The Gemara, as an example of telling us how you can't do a chatzis chitzonis, as the Gemara says, if a monkey put the blood on the hand of the kohen, it wouldn't be acceptable. And there's a very interesting debate amongst the Achroinim, how to understand this Gemara. Why does Gemara choose the case of a monkey? Some Achroinim say, a chiddush, that's only if a monkey who has no das, who put the blood from the animal onto the fingers of the kohen, is that not considered that it was put on properly. But what would be the halacha if one person, if one kohen, poured the blood onto the hands of a kohen? That would be fine. That's one approach in the Achroinim. Other Achroinim take just the opposite approach. And they say, avada, if one kohen puts it on the kohen's hand, it's not acceptable. Because the kohen has to put his fingers into the klisharos to get the dam. The chiddush of the Gemara is that a monkey, who doesn't have his own independent intelligence, so maybe we could consider him an extension of me, that you're not an extension of me, you're you and I'm me. But maybe I would look at a monkey as an extension of the kohen. A monkey is not an extension of the kohen. A person is certainly not the extension. And as we speak about this discussion, it's very relevant lahalacha. The Paiskim discussed the following issue. The Torah was started this way. The Torah teaches us an important mitzvah that we all know, dalam minim on sukkos. So the Netziv says a very interesting point. He says, if you think about the bracha we make when we take the dalam minim, it's a little problem. What's the bracha that we make? Al netilas lulav. Why do we make the bracha al netilas lulav? We ought to have made the bracha al lekichas lulav. What's the wording of the Torah? Lekachtem lachem. Why do we say netilas lulav? Why don't we say lekichas lulav? So he says, because of the following reason. And there are Jews like this. Let's say you have a Jew who's so excited about doing the mitzvah dalam minim. You can't make a bracha on the dalam minim before the netzachama of first day of Sukkos. So the netz is 6 o'clock in the morning. And he's so excited about doing the mitzvah, from 5 in the morning, from 4 in the morning, he already is holding the Dalaminim in his hands, waiting for that moment. Is it fine or not? He did the Lekicha before his man. Or, let's say, you want to take the Dalaminim, so you want to use my Dalaminim, so instead of picking them up from the table, I just deposit them in your hands. Is that considered Lekicha? Says the Netziv, the Torah used the words, to avoid making the mistake, that the only way you mekayim the mitzvah is by actually picking up the Dalaminim. That's why we changed the lashon of the bracha. And he said, I'll natilas lulav. As long as the lulav is in your hand, it's good enough. So the Netziv goes on to explain, his son Reb Chaim Berlin asks him, I don't understand. But the Torah does use the word v'lkachtem. So how do we say that as long as you have the Dalaminim in your hand, it doesn't make a difference how they got into your hand, when they got into your hand? Then the Torah used the word v'lkachtem. And now Gemara is teaching us that how you take something is significant. If the monkey deposited it in your hand, it isn't good enough. So how come by the Dalaminim we're saying it doesn't make a difference? So if we follow the approach of the Achronim that I just suggested, that even by the dam of the Chatas Chitzonius, if one coin put into the other coin's hand, it would be fine. It's only the monkey putting it into your hand, so it's no problem. If I put it into my hands, or another person put it into my hands, it's no problem. It's only the monkey that's a problem. One approach. The Netziv had a different approach. He says a very interesting approach. He says in order to hold something, you have to use your muscles, you have to use your brain, you have to intend and do whatever it takes to hold something. That it's in itself is considered a ma'isa lekicha. Whereas, says the Netziv, blood on your hand doesn't, your intelligence won't help you keep the blood on your hand. Because you can't do anything to keep the blood on your fingers. It's going to be there and it's going to roll off if you can't prevent it. Therefore, the requirement of lekicha of dam, the physical way you hold dam, and the physical way you hold the lulav is different, and therefore by a lulav it's good enough just holding it to be considered v'lekachtem, dam you have to do a ma'isa lekicha. Chazanish has a third approach. The Chazanish says like this, by the dam, the Torah doesn't only speak about the dam. We've learned, and we'll actually discuss it later many, many times, there's a concept of a klisharis. The dam goes from the animal into a klisharis, and removing it from the klisharis onto your hand is part of the avoida of bringing your carbon. And therefore, how you do it is part of the avoida, and the Torah in our Gemara is teaching us that it can't be done by somebody else putting it on your finger. You have to do it yourself. There is no such requirement by the lulav. There's no din in the Torah where the lulav came from. The Torah just wants you to take the lulav. And therefore, by Dalaminim, it doesn't make a difference how it got into your hand, or when it was put into your hand. By dam of a carbon, it makes a difference. But, one more point, this discussion we could discuss much longer, just one more point the stipler makes. If now we're learning that the mitzvah of Dalaminim, unlike what it says in the Torah says, v'lekachtem. So you follow the wording of the Torah, as soon as you pick up the Dalaminim, you've done the mitzvah. There's no further mitzvah. But now that we're learning that the mitzvah of Dalaminim is not just picking it up, but the mitzvah is holding it, says the stipler, we could understand what would be the halacha if somebody wants to hold the Dalaminim all day long sukkahs. Does he get a mitzvah for every minute that he's holding it? If we'll say that the mitzvah is taking it, so once you've taken it, you've fulfilled the mitzvah. There's no point in holding it further. But if we're learning now that the mitzvah is the netilas lulav, the holding the lulav, so every moment you're holding the lulav, you're doing another mitzvah. And that's why we find that the Gemara says that those who are mechaviv the mitzvah held the lulav all day long. Because every minute they got a mitzvah, netilas lulav, not lekichas lulav. Rav Shimon machshav el hiluch. We learned in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon says that if you had a machshav shloi lishma during the halacha, the carbon doesn't become possible. Why? Because as Rav Shimon explained in the Mishnah, the entire halacha is not required. You could get away with doing the shechita right next to the mizbeach. However, comments Rav Shimon ben Lakish, I'm Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Moed Rav Shimon ben Lakish chatas pnimius, shemachshavas pesalspa. However, avoidish any yachayil vatla. Which means as follows. As we explained in the previous year, you could shech the chatas chitzonius right next to the mizbeach. And since you could check the Chatas Chitzonius right next to the Mizbeach, you could avoid the entire halacha. And therefore, even if you didn't avoid it, you're not chayiv. But the Chatas Pnimius, as we've been learning, you shecht it in the Azara and you have to take it into the base of Mikdash. So there's no way of getting from here to there without walking, says Rav Shimon. There, says the Gemara, says Rish Lakish, Rav Shimon will agree that by that halacha, a machshav shloy lishma plays a role. So ask him a question, what's the chiddush of what Rish Lakish said? It's obvious. You can't avoid halacha. The whole basis of Rav Shimon was that halacha is avoidable. This is a halacha that's not avoidable. Answer the Mepharshim. That we would think that once Rav Shimon established that since by many kabbonis, by all kabbonis that are brought on the Mizbech HaChitzin, halacha is avoidable, that perhaps creates a situation that halacha is not considered an avoider. And since it's not considered an avoider, even where it isn't avoidable, it should not be considered an avoider that Shloi Lishma passes, teaches us Rav Shlokish. It's not that Rav Shimon considers halacha not an avoider. He looks at each circumstance separately. Ask the Gemara. But then we learn on top of the Amid, Bar Rav Shimon, Kosh Enam Azbech Achitz Kishlam Encha Yavim Lam Shem Pigel. There's no pigle anyway. Because it's a carbon that goes inside the base of English. We learned in the top line of this Amid, Rav Shimon holds that can never be pigle. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Maida Yalipsa Mekal V'chaimah. He makes the following Kal V'chaimah. That even though the carbon doesn't become pigle, in the sense that if you ate this carbon, that you had a Mechsheves pigle about, that there's a Chiv Karis, he'll agree that if somebody had a Mechsheves Chutz L'Zmanoi, when he's bringing the Chatas Panemius, the carbon will be possible. Because he makes the following Kal V'chaimah. If Shloi Lishma, which by Kabin Shlomim is not an issue, first Mishnah of the Masechta, Pasul B'chatos, by Kabin Chatos it is an issue, Chutz L'Zmanoi, which is a worse infraction. What's the Raya? Shapaisa B'Shlomim, even by Kabin, every carbon is subject to the Chutz L'Zmanoi, Machshava, and it did Shapaisa B'chatos, says Rashi, that even though we've now proven that Chutz L'Zmanoi is applicable by Chatas Pnimius, there won't be a Chiv Misa. Why? Because how are we learning it? We're learning it from a Kal V'Chomer. We're learning the din of Chutz L'Zmanoi from a Kal V'Chomer from Shloi Lishma. We have a rule of Dayi Lovim and a din Liz Kanidin. So since there's no Chiv Karis by Shloi Lishma, what we learn from Shloi Lishma cannot be stricter and there won't be a Chiv Karis. Actually, many Mepharshim have a problem with Rashi. Why Rashi has to say this limit? Rashi could have said, "Ain onshim and adin," that we never give a kavachay, we never give an onish just based on a kavachaymer. Why didn't Rashi say that? So Mepharshim give two terutzim. One terutz I saw that Mepharshim suggest is that this issue of ain onshim and adin is machlokes tanoim, so Rashi wants to avoid it. And there's another opinion that ain onshim and adin is only an onish that Bezdin gives. Here we're talking about Karis. Given that Karis is given in a shemayim, there, everybody agrees that Oin Shimon Adin. Says the Gemara, so Ashkhan, we've proven that even though Rav Shimon says that a carbon can't become pigle by Chatas Pnimius, Chutz L'Zmanoi will disqualify them carbon. But as we also have discussed many times, there are two types of pigle. At least we call it pigle, they're not really identical. Chutz L'Zmanoi is the real pigle. Chutz L'Zmanoi is the pigle that if somebody eats a carbon where there was a machshavas, Chutz L'Zmanoi is Chiv Karis. Chutz L'Mekaymai, there's no Chiv Karis. So ask the Gemara, Chutz L'Mekaymai Nolan, how do we know that if somebody had a machshavas Chutz L'Mekaymai on a Chatas Pnimius, the carbon will be disqualified? Even Chutz L'Zmanoi, if you want to learn for Chutz L'Zmanoi, you can't. Because my Chutz L'Zmanoi, we just finished proving, there's a Chiv Karis. So you can't learn the halachas of Chutz L'Mekaymai that don't normally carry a Chutz Karis from Chutz L'Zmanoi that normally does. Even Shloi Lishma, if you're going to want to learn from Shloi Lishma and say if Shloi Lishma applies, so too Chutz L'Mekaymai applies, no. We know that during different periods of our history, they were allowed to bring Karbonis on a Bama. We'll discuss it more later in the Masechta. Now let's think about it. Is it possible to have a Machsheves Shloi Lishma on a Bama? Absolutely. Why not? You thought about the wrong carbon. You thought about the wrong owner. Is it possible to have a Machsheves Chutz L'Mekaymai by a Bama? The answer is no. Because what does Chutz Mekayim mean? That you're only allowed to bring the Karman in the Beis HaMikdash, nowhere else. In the time of Bama, there was no such limit. According to some Tanaim, you could bring a Karman on any stone anywhere in Israel. So given that, you can't learn the halachas of Chutz Mekayim from Shloi Lishma, because Shloi Lishma is so much stricter. It applies even by a Bama, whereas Chutz Mekayim doesn't apply by a Bama. Says the Gemara, Shloi Lishma b'mayinoi, says the Gemara, that isn't a refutation. Why? Shloi Lishma b'mayinoi. Where is Shloi Lishma a factor? Where does Shloi Lishma disqualify a carbon? The Pesach v'chatas. Those are only two kabbanas, as we learned in the first Mishnah, get completely disqualified by Shloi Lishma. Says the Gemara, Pesach v'chatas b'mayinoi karvu. So the fact that you want to say that there is no Shloi Lishma, there is no Bama, that there is a Bama, there is no, and therefore there's no Machsheves Chutz L'Mekayim. It's not true. We're discussing Pesach V'Chatas, and by Pesach V'Chatas there is no Heter to use a Bama. One Teretz. Bibay Seima Hakeshihu. We may have a Hekish. The Torah is Makish Chutz L'Mekayim to Chutz L'Mezmanai, because the pasuk says Shlishi, that refers to the Psul of Chutz L'Mezmanai. Pigel refers to the Psul of Chutz L'Mekayim. And therefore, says the Gemara, if Chutz L'Zmanai is applicable, as we proved earlier, not Chutz M'Kaimai. Mefarshim explain why do we need two Terutzim to say the same, to what's wrong with every Teretz. So they explain the problem with the second Teretz is that first we learn a Kavachaymer, and based on the Kavachaymer we expand it to a Hekish. And it's a Machlaikus in this Masechta, if something that's learned with a Kavachaymer could then be expanded to use a Hekish. The problem with the first Teretz is that although there is no problem, there is no Pesach and Chatas on a Bama, and therefore the issue of Chutz L'Mekayimai is moot there, but there are other Kabbanas on a Bama, and therefore Chutz L'Mekayimai is less of a concern than Shloi Lishma, which is applicable on a Bama, whereas Chutz L'Mekayimai is never applicable on a Bama, and that's the logical problem with the first Eretz. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Imtem Tzlam Rishim and Shavilei Kibrei. If we will say that Rav Shimon agrees with his son, who said, Bein Ulam Mizbeach Tzofen. We've learned many times that a Karban Chatas has to be specifically slaughtered, but Tzofen Hazara. Now, to quickly try to describe how it looked, you had the Hazara, and you have the Tzofen Hazara. You then have the Mizbeach Achitzen. Then you have an empty space between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, and now you already have the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. The first part of the Beis HaMikdash is the Ulam. It's like a foyer, a corridor. Then you have the Heichel, which is also known as the Kodesh, and then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The question that comes up is, can you shecht a carbon in the space between the Mizbeach and the Ulam? And says the Gemara, if Rav Shimon agrees with his son, Dabin Bein Ulam Mizbeach Tzofen, that's considered an area that's softened, and you therefore could shecht a carbon chattis in that space. We started this piece of Gemara with Rish Lakish making the following statement. The Rish Liman is going to agree that where it's unavoidable to walk, that a machshava is by halacha is an issue. But if you could shecht in the space between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, even if you chose to shecht further away, now it becomes a halacha that's avoidable. And Rav Shimon's shita is that if it's an avoidable halacha, there's no machshava. So therefore, where will Rish Lakish's rule be applicable? Only from entering the ulam up to the mizbeach. That is an unavoidable halacha, that's where machshava is an issue. Anywhere else, since it's avoidable, it's not an issue. Continues the Gemara. Then Tim Tzolam Yisrael HaKrab Yehuda. That anywhere in the Azara, you could burn Ktiris. We know that every week they brought new lechem ponim onto the shulchan. And on top of the shulchan, they put such spoons full of some manim. Every Shabbos they were taken out, and they were supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. That was Davoida. But Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that we don't have to necessarily burn it on the Mizbeach itself. You could burn anywhere on the floor. As Rashi explains, you could have burnt it anywhere on the floor because Shlomo Melech was Mekadesh, the entire Ritzpah of the Azara, the entire floor of the Azara. So now, as soon as you leave the Heichel, you could burn it anywhere you want. So since you could burn it anywhere you want, it's already, even if you chose to walk to the Mizbeach, it's a halacha that's not necessary to have. And therefore, if Shimon holds an avoidable halacha, there's no machshava. Furthermore, says the Gemara, if you'll say that the Heichel and Ulam is all one Kedusha, because you could have had the Shulchan right by the door of the Ulam, and therefore carrying it from the Shulchan, even if the Shulchan was in the Kaddish, was unavoidable, because you could have moved the Shulchan to the door. However, says the Brisker Rav, the Shulchan, our Gemara is saying, could be moved to the door. The Mizbeach couldn't be moved to the door. The Mizbeach had to be exactly in the spot in the Beis Hamikdash where it was. So what we learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that carrying it from the door of the Ulam till the Mizbeach is an unavoidable halacha, that remains. Because the Mizbeach can't be moved, it's only the Shulchan that can be moved. Furthermore, says the Gemara, if we're going to say that even the door of the Ulam has the same status as inside the Ulam, because let's think about it. Walking from the Shulchan till the door of the Ulam, you could have had the Shulchan by the door. And therefore, since you could have had the Shulchan not by the door, but in the doorway, it's an avoidable halacha. You could burn the Ktiris of the Lechem upon him anywhere in the Azara. So you could have burnt it right next to the door. So where would the halacha be unavoidable? That one step between the door and the Ritzpah HaAzara. Then Tim Tzolaymer, and now goes the Gemara a step further. Toicha Pesach Lefnim, Emach Shem Me'el Zafil P'sila Achas, Abakdei Shas Yodai. If you could do it right in the doorway, it says putting your hand from the doorway onto the floor. Then Tim Tzolaymer Sava, Elocha Shloi Beregel, Loishma HaElocha. We're going to start learning a sugya. Is HaElocha that doesn't require movement of your feet, that just moving your hands, is that considered in the category of HaElocha? And we're going to say that that isn't considered HaElocha. So since if you have the Shulchan, theoretically in the door of the Ulam, and you can deposit it from the Shulchan right onto the floor, so it doesn't require any movement, just dropping it, and that's not considered a halacha, so now you won't have a machshavas me'el klal by the k'tiris of the lechem upon him, there would never be a machshavas shloi l'shma. But by the carbon, we said that you have to get it from the mizbeach till the azara, there, from moving it from the door of the Ulam to the Mizbeach, that's where you would have a machshava. But the entire Azara, we learned before, is considered like the Mizbeach. So Taisus asks the Gevaldige Kasha. We don't appreciate the question yet because we didn't learn all these sugyas. In our Masechta, there's many times an issue of Imolu Lo Yeridu. That if something wasn't supposed to be put on the Mizbeach, the Loch is Lo Yeridu. But if you put it on, Lo Yeridu, don't take it off. Or, many times we learn in our Masechta, Im Yardu, if they're on the floor of the Mizbeach, Loi Olu, they shouldn't be taken up. So asks Taisvis, if now our Gemara was Mechadish, that the entire Azara is considered like the Mizbeach, the entire Ritzpitz Azara is like the Mizbeach, so when do you ever have Im Olu Loi Yardu, Im Yardu Loi Olu, it's all one and the same. It's a very fascinating question that the Rishonim grapple with. I'll give you two terutzim. One terutz that Taisva says is that we said, how did the entire floor of the Azara get the Kedusha of the Mizbeach? Shlomo Melech made that designation. Says Taisva, he only made that designation as far as if Yilchatchil went and burnt Ketiris or something else on the floor of the Azara, it's good. But he didn't make it as far as the Allah of Alu Lo Yardim, Lo Yardu Lo Yalu. It's sort of a partial designation. Another terutz, similar terutz, and that only applies to Ketiris that we're discussing. But when it comes to Dam, then Shlomo Melech didn't make the Kedusha of the Azara equal to any floor of the Azara, and it's the Dam that we say, Imolo lo yardu, Im yardu lo yalu. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Abaye lamarid Rav Chisda. Abaye said to Rav Chisda's spokesman, Barmanem Rav Chisda, ask Rav Chisda the following question. Halacha b'zar mahu. What is the halacha if a zar did the halacha? Amalei, k'shera. So he responded, it's kosher. Or mikra m'sayeni. And he responded that it's a pasuk that really backs me up. Because the pasuk says, v'yishchitu as a Pesach. The current Pesach was slaughtered ere Pesach. This is in the time of Yoshua Melech. V'yizuku ha-kahanim is adam v'yadam. The kahanim did the zrika. V'viyim mefshitim. So what does it seem? That everything up to the zrika was not done by kahanim. Because the pasuk speaks about the shechita. We know shechit could be done by zar. And it seems that when did the kahanim get active? Only at the point of zrika. Most of Rosh Hashanah ask Rosh Hashanah, how could you say so? We're going to learn zar, somebody who's not a kohen, for einan. Einan, as we've learned many times, is someone who lost a close relative. On the first day of the levaya, on the first day of the ptira, the night after, these are sugyas that we're going to learn. Shikr, interesting, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says shikr means somebody who's intoxicated because he drank wine. Tosfos says it's not limited to drinking wine. Obamum, the Kabbalah by halacha bezrika pasul. Clearly it says here that a zor is possible by halacha. Let's just continue learning the brisa. The Ken Yoshev, if somebody does the Kabbalah halacha zrika in a sitting position, this will all be discussed in the next parak. The Ken Smol, and somebody who does it with his left hand, says the Gemara, clearly to Yufta. Clearly from here we see that Rav Chizda's opinion is refuted. Interesting machlokes. Clearly, according to the Rabbanim, who have said that halacha is so essential, we've proven now that halacha must be done by a kohen. But the question that the Mefarshim debate is this halacha up to Rav Shimon? What will Rav Shimon say here? And what will the Rabbanim say according to the Havamina? And many Mefarshim take the opinion that the halacha that we've been discussing over the last couple of days, that an improper machshava during halacha is or isn't an issue, the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbanan and Rav Shimon, and the question that we're discussing today about a zor doing halacha do not necessarily travel together. And you could have a separate question of a zor could do halacha and a separate question of machshava shalai lishma applies by halacha or not. Others learn it simpler. A simpler way is to say that the two issues travel together. Ask the Gemara, didn't Rav Chizda quote a pasuk by the Karban Pesach that it was only that the Kohanim only began their avodah by the Zrika, which clearly indicates that until the Zrika, who did it? The Israelim. So how can we say unequivocally that a Zor is pasul for the halacha? Answers the Gemara, David Masa Itzdaba. It wasn't that the Israelim did anything. All the Israelim did was to stand there, and everything just, they were just standing there holding the dam, not transporting it to the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Amitavayu, Halacha Bazar, the Halacha of Halacha Bazar, Machlokes of Shimon Rabbanim. It's actually Machlokes of Shimon Rabbanim. The Rav Shimon, the Oma Efshalavat Lava Voidehi, Rav Shimon's opinion, who any avoid that's avoidable is not considered avoider, will hold Shere Bazar. Rabbanon, Psula, it's possible. Oma Rabbaya, asked the Gemara, is this true that the Rabbanon hold that any avoider that's avoidable is not an avoider? For shechita, the avoider she'af shelavatla, there's no avoider that's more unavoidable than shechita. You can't go further until the animal is slaughtered, and yet we all know that Allah is k'sheira bazar. Amalei, shechita lav avoidehi. Shechita is not considered an avoider. Machlokes Rishonim, why not? Rashi says, he uses reverse logic. You know why shechita is not an avoider? The fact that we know that shechita is k'sheira bazar is the biggest right that it's not an avoider. Because if it's an avoider, how could it be kosher bazar? That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos says, the reason that shechit is not an avoider is because shechit is not limited to kachin. Nobody's allowed to eat a piece of meat without shechit. So since shechit is not limited to kachin, that's why shechit cannot be considered an avoider. Ask the Gemara of Eloi, is shechit not considered an avoider? V'amar v'zeir amarav, shechit is para bazar when the para of Duma is brought. And it's slaughtered, Shechitas par bazar psula, Vam Ravala, and Rav explained why. Because a lazar, v'chukik seba. Since the Torah said by the original par adoma that it was slaughtered by a lazar, and the Torah uses the word chukka to say, to teach us this is the way it must be done, so we see that it has to be. But if it's not an avoider, why is it limited to a kayin? Answers the Gemara, Shani Para, the Kotcha Bedek Abayasi. Para doesn't have the same din as a regular carbon, it's Kotcha Bedek Abayas. Machlokes Achroim, how do you understand that the Para is Kotcha Bedek Abayas? Doesn't mean that it's not in the category of Kedushas Aguf at all, it only has a Kedushas Tamim, where others say it has a Kedushas Guf, but it's not the same as a carbon. Ask the Gemara, but why don't we make the following Kavachoymer? The life called the Kain, who can we make the following Kavachoymer? Kotcha Bedek Abayas, have avoided. Kotcha Bedek Abayas is certainly a lower level Kedusha than Kedusha Tzaguf. So if we're saying that Kotcha Bedek Abayas it's an avoider and a Zoris Possel, Kotcha Mazbeach, which is a higher level, certainly Lav Avoidihi, it's certainly an avoider. So how do we understand this Gemara? Omer Sheshib Reder of Idi, we did the Hava Maris Nagoy. We have a precedent, just like we see by checking for a Nega, the Lav Avoidihi, that it's not an avoida, and yet the halacha is by kahuna. So we see from here that it has nothing to do with being an avoida or not. It has nothing to do with kedushas or guf and kedushas by the kabayas. That's what we should explain the Gemara. It's a gzeiros hakosev that in certain places you need a kohen even if it's not an avoida, but that is limited to maris negoim and para aduma. Shchita, the Gemara is contending, is not an avoida, and therefore you don't need a kohen. So I saw a beautiful word from Cheskel Abramsky. What is the common denominator by Maris Nagoyim and Para Aduma that there specifically, that even though it's not an avoider, the Torah requires a kayim? He says a beautiful pshat. He says, what happens when you shech the Para Aduma to turn it, to use it to be Matar people? What happens when a kayim declares that somebody is a Matzaira, somebody or something? It's a change of status. Till now, it was tar, now it's considered menuga. Till now, it was a regular para, and now the Torah calls a para duma chatas. Only a kohen has the ability to make such a transformation from something being one status into another status. And that's why the Gemara says the Torah specifically said, by these things, even if they're not an avoida, you need a kohen. Whereas the slaughtering of a carbon doesn't make it into a carbon, that's not the hegdish. The hegdish is when you magdish it. That's why you don't need a kohen for the shechita. Ask the Gemara, let's think about Rei Alochas Avarim LeKeves, bringing the Avarim to the Keves by every carbon. The avoidish Efshe Levat Lehi, it's clearly avoided, that's avoidable, because what happens if you shecht it right next to the Mizbeach? And again, the Brisker Rav, I quoted this Brisker Rav previously, says from here you see that the chiv is just to bring the carbon to the ramp, not up to the top. And Psul Bazar, the Ksiv, the Hikra Koin has a call, the Hikdem is Becha, Vamamar, Zuha Lachas Avaram Lekevis. So here clearly we see that the Torah says that even something that's avoidable is still Psul Bazar. We're learning that Rav Shimon says that anything that's avoidable is not Psul Bazar. Answers the Gemara, Hech the Gali, Hech the Loigali, Loigali. Here the Torah made it explicit. Ask the Gemara, the Laf Kodu Kenhi. Can we make the following kavachomer? Or ma halachas avarim lekeves, carrying the avarim to the keves, the loy ma'akva kapora, that isn't essential for the validity of the carbon. We're learning by kahuna halachas dam that without that ma'akva kapora like koshke. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, how do we understand Rav Shimon? And the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Says the Gemara, itma, ama ula mer belazer. Halacha b'zar psula, that indeed, halacha by a b'zar, even though Rav Shimon says that halacha, if you had a machsheva shaloi l'shma, it doesn't become possible. Rav Shimon is in agreement that halacha b'zar is possible, a feeler of Shimon. So what do we see, according to the Gemara at this point? That the issue of machsheva and the issue of a kayin of requiring Rukayin, don't travel together. And Rav Shimon will agree that the fact that the halacha is avoidable prevents it to be susceptible to Machshev Shloi Lishma, and the Gemara and Amrav discussed Machshevus Pigel also. On the other hand, that doesn't allow it to be done by a Zar. When you do the halacha, Rav Shimon will agree that it has to be done by a Kayin, because he learns it's no worse than halacha sevaram lekeves. If halacha sevaram lekeves has to be done by a kohen, certainly the halacha stam has to be done by a kohen.